Ireland. We were in Ireland. And then on the way back from Ireland, we came to Liverpool. And Liverpool, he didn't want to... It was a really small house. So he didn't stay. So we stayed together in the motor home. And up until then, I think he was staying inside. I was staying outside in Manchester. We had rooms. We stayed in the motor home. And the first thing was that, you know, I didn't have a toilet in the motor home. I took it out. So he says, "Where do I go to the bathroom?" I said, "You go outside." He says, "You know, so at night, yeah. I mean, during the day, we go to the temple, there's a park up there, but at night, I would go to some park." So we're parked up in this park in downtown Liverpool. And he says, "Where do I go?" I said, "You have to go outside." He says, "I'm not going outside." He says, "Well, there's nowhere else to go." He says, "I think you go outside." And he was in one end of the motorhome, and I was in the other. And I lay down, and I tried to go to sleep, and I felt like this. It's like, I mean, this magnetic field, you know. I can't sleep. And then he says, "Are you asleep?" I says, "No, how can I sleep? I can't sleep with you in here. You're like creating so much energy." Yeah. And then the next day, we worked it out so he could stay in the temple in Liverpool.
Why do you always do
this? One is because then he had access to the toilet.
What year was this?
And then from, well, I don't know, because from there, from Liverpool, it was the same year Jack Takmaj got attacked, because then from Liverpool we were going down to Wales, and on the motorway we got the telephone call, so we turned around, went to London, and we just got on an airplane straight to the airport. And then we flew to Spain. So whenever that happened to Jai Pitaka Maharaj, which I don't remember when that was, but it was sometime late 80, 89, 88, something like that. And the reason that he started that was because at that time he was working on Brahma Samhita, and I was writing a book on the creation. And he said, "You can't do that. That's the same thing that I'm writing." I said, "Well, I've already got it half done." He says, "Okay, well, let's write it together." So then we were going on at least those parts of Brahma Samhita that were about creation. And so we were working on that. And then I had Krishna Chaitanya and Jamuna. They were driving in a car. And they were cooking, and Ananga Manjari, she was typing. She would type up. At that time, there wasn't computer. They had to have a typewriter. I think we were still carrying a typewriter. And we were having just steamies. Then he got, I mean, really steamy, it's no chance. So at a certain point he says, "Listen, this doesn't work, I can't eat just this raw food. I need something with ghee in it, I need a chance." Krishna Chaitanya was a good cook. Anyway, him and Yamuna, they were cooking. And I think Advaita Chandra was also in Ireland at that. I think they came to Ireland when we were there. And anyway, it was funny. We came to a certain point where I just, you know, the relationship became where it was like, you know, he was our older godbrother, but it became more friendly. So I just, something happened, I just started to laugh.
Yeah.
And then he didn't know what to do with that because he wasn't used to that. So then he just had to end up laughing also.
Do you think that is where the beginning of the relationship that you developed so closely later, it began at that time?
Yeah, and then from there he was just traveling at that time. Mm-hmm. And then when we actually came to Cambridge, mm-hmm. and then Oxford, that's Yeah, then, I mean, we were there, we were next door. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're never really next door neighbors except for Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. Because we were living just literally speaking over the wall on the other side. Mm-hmm. Our place in Vrindavan. Yeah, it developed, yeah, over the years. And also when we'd have parikrama here, that was very good. That made like a level field out of everyone, or for everyone. Mm. Everyone just got to be in the tents. Yeah. It was a shame that tent... You said, oh no, I was talking to Satchidula last year. He said it sort of rotted away. Mm. But he was out. He used to travel around, and that was a really nice tent. It was a nice part of, and it was really, like he would have really first quality. And just at that time, that's when he was practicing, learning how to do prartana, sing prartana according to the actual moods and ragas. And he had one Bengali devotee who was teaching him with him. So he would try and get us in every evening after, you know, walking barefoot in the sun for I don't know how many hours that we should all sing together.
Is there anything possible that some influence you can exert to get Brahmasamhita published? Because it's practically done.
Yeah. Is there any reason why it's not? It's just because it's in BBT's domain.
I don't know.
Who's got it?
I think there are different copies in different places. I'm not sure who has it. I know. I'm not sure. But I received a copy of some like final changes, corrections that needed to be made, and they did not seem so extensive.
Well, if BBT doesn't have the rights,
it's not to BBT yet.
Then who's why did someone just publish it?
So, yeah.
I thought Ajakra had it, and he was planning to publish it.
Yes, he.
That's the last
time. Okay.
I remember telling me that he had it.
It's just BBT. Well, if BBT has it, then they're notoriously slow at doing things.
It's just been so long.
Yeah, that would be very valuable, because it was. I remember reading large parts of what he'd done. Very extensive.
You were speaking about sleeping once he had after lunch. Took left side down and wanted me to sleep in the same bed with him. And so we got on just this kind of size. So the whole time I just stood there like this. I tried not to breathe. I was afraid even if I breathed, I might fall asleep. And then I would disturb, I would start snoring or something like this. But I just tried. I still the whole 15 minutes.
Yeah, but that's as long as he'd
sleep
for.
Yeah, that's what it was. I think 12 minutes, actually. 15 minutes.
He'd sometimes say, why don't you come in and take a nap? I said, because I'd want to take a nap for an hour, and you were going to get up after 15 minutes, and you're going to wake me up.
Yeah. Did you tell me that story when he asked you in his room up here, you should tell Carl that? When he said he wanted to take rest, remember?
Oh, yeah, we did a lot, but that was, I don't know, maybe it was the year before leaving, and we had lunch, and it probably ran late, so I didn't have time to, I don't know where I used to stay at that time. Sometimes I'd stay in Gada, and so we didn't have so much time. So why don't you come in and lay down? And I think it didn't really matter, because we had only little time to rest. Just like lay down. And I don't know if I lay down I don't think I would lay down in the bed. Probably lay down beside him. And I lay down, and I said, give me your hand. said, if anybody else said that, said, give you my hand. Said, yes, give me your hand. So I held his hand for a little while. And then I think I probably dozed off. Yeah, he was always hungry for love.
Yeah. My relationship with him from the time I was born was he was always very affectionate, very loving. Never said any strong word to me ever. About my entire life. The age difference, 9 years, over 9 years, that he was also very fatherly to me as a when I was a baby and young boy.
I'm going to start doing puja.
Yes.
I realize. But we can talk if you like. While I do puja, and then I need to get there because I'm going to be late.
Yes.
Actually, I don't even know when I got Radha Damodara, whether I got it the following year or the same year. This is departure. Until then, I was always just with Gornita. Cambridge and Oxford. I think I only went to Oxford twice because he was only in Oxford for half a semester, right?
Right.
I think I only went there twice. Cambridge. That was a really nice place.
Mm.
You were there.
Cambridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, we and our three children spent 1 week with him there.
Yeah, and that.
Then my wife, that was in 2000, in May of 2000, and then in July of 2001, my wife was 1 month with him there in the house.
Yeah, it was a very, very nice place. It was a great place, that house.
In 2000, he was really in a family mood, just to be uncle to mom with the children, do everything with them, cater to their likings.
Uh-huh.
He was super, super sweet with them.
How old are they, children?
At that time, they were 7, 9, and 12. And now they're 17, 19, 22. We really encourage them just to be spontaneous and loving with them and only treat them just like a loving uncle.
Keshe Bharti Maharaj was there at the same time as I was. I guess he must have been passing through on the way to go over there.
December of 1999, Keshav Bhagavan Maharaj,
after Prasad, this was Gopal Raj was cooking, and we just all had so much, and we were in a really silly, intoxicated mood, and started wrestling. And they were wrestling each other, and they wrestled each other right down to the floor, and then they started rolling across the whole darshan room, laughing and wrestling.
Really?
Yeah.
When he came to your place?
Yeah. We were staying at in a flat in MVT.
Uh-huh.
And our children, you know, we do a Krishna conscious Christmas celebration in our home. So we were in India for 6 months. At that day, they were 7, 9, and 12. So it was a big austerity for them to miss Christmas. They were a little worried as, you know, Santa Claus come to Vrindavan. And so we did some nice things for them. And within, right as it was time to go to sleep, there was a knock on the door. And there comes Gurudev. He's at the door when we open. He has a big sack on his back filled with toys. And he came in and he said, "Ho, ho, ho, Merry Christmas." And he had them all sit on his lap. And he says, "Oh, have you been a good little girl, a good little boy this year? Have you been chanting Hare Krishna?" And he very, very, very carefully selected a gift for each of them that he thought they would like.
The whole bag was full of toys?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Just like a big Santa Claus bag. And it was also very sweet. He was really in a special relationship with our youngest daughter. She was 7 years old. And he surprised us. We didn't know he was coming. So we were, when he gave us all our presents, it was we were in anxiety because we had nothing for him. So we were all worried, and then our daughter says, "Oh, we have something for you, Uncle Tamal." And of course Stella and me were worried because we knew we didn't have anything prepared. And they, each of the children, just got one gift on Christmas Eve, one each. And she went to the pile and took her own gift and brought it to him.
Yeah,
and he just
nice.
Lit up. He had the biggest, sweetest smile on his face. He was so happy.
Hmm.
And then he said he knew, he realized though what she had done. So he said, "Well, thank you, but I'm worried that it'll like get broken or lost if I have it, so you hold on to it for me and come play with me tomorrow." And then the next day, on Christmas Day, we went to his house and they were playing together. It was really nice.
Hmm. Chicago to Dallas and then to Harmony. That was the time when he taught me how to eat properly.
Mm-hmm.
And what's good, what's not good. And then when I came to Cambridge, that was a long time later. It was like almost 20 years later. And I came to Cambridge, and you know, first he had this, who was that householder couple that came, elderly?
Nandini
and. Who?
Madam Mohan and Krishna Shakti.
Yeah, Krishna
Shakti. Yeah. And then after.
The first couple who were with
him. Yeah. And then afterwards it was. what's his name?
Sarabhan.
Sarabhan. I can cook better than these people. How can you eat this? He said, well, it's not so bad. So nothing else to eat.
You would always complain, this is their rasa together, so this is the best I can do.
Yeah, I told him, listen, I'll bring an undervigor up here, she can cook something good. No, don't do that. If I taste it, then I'll get more depressed. So generally over lunch, I just be complaining. What's going on here? But it wasn't actually by it. After a while, Sarvabhauma became... Sometimes he hit it right on. Of course, then Gopal Raj was there for a little while.
Yeah. Nobody thought Sarvabhauma would last more than a week, if that.
He stuck it out.
Yeah. He simultaneously, he's you know, defying and arguing, and also very surrendered at the same time. When we were there with the children, Gopal Raj was cooking, and the children had been away for 6 months. And so he said he had Gopal Raj instructed to make them all American childhood, you know, specialties. And he said chose the things that he liked when he was a child. So he said, you know, spaghetti, macaroni and cheese, and all of these things. And of course, he was not permitted to have any of them. They were totally against his diet. But he said, oh, you know, the children would really appreciate this. And he says, well, I wouldn't want the children to have to eat alone. I should, you know, they shouldn't feel that I'm eating something special that they're not getting. So just give me a little tiny bowl of this, the macaroni and cheese. And then he says, oh, that's very good. He finishes it. He says, oh, but Gopal Raj was so small, just a little bit, one little more. And one little more. So by the time we realized that he'd had 8 bowls of the macaroni and cheese, we realized, yeah, he wanted to please the children, but actually he was using her presence as an excuse to have all these childhood things that he wasn't allowed to have.
He'd regularly come down to the manor for festivals. Many festivals that we have. And, he would come. That was a good addition for Yatra.
to GBC with Alabama.
They are so exquisitely beautiful. How long have they been with you?
Was that the same year the Funkers and Lives left?
I think it was 2003. Well, feel free to blame me for anything you like.